This is the Everything EV Podcast by EV Powered.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Everything EV Podcast, a weekly show that brings you the latest news, views and opinions from every corner of the EV industry. I'm your host, Charlie Atkinson, and in these episodes we'll be discussing everything to do with electric travel, so whether it be cars, bikes, boats or even planes, we'll have it covered. We'll also be speaking to people from within the industry to get their views on the EV space, as well as other features such as electric car reviews, electric motorsport coverage, and much, much more along the way. This podcast is available on all streaming platforms, so be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to receive every single episode as soon as it's released. And please do go back and check out all our other episodes too. This week, we're joined by Tom Groot of the Electric Car Scheme, a salary sacrifice initiative to help businesses and employees get behind the wheel of EVs. Tom is here to discuss the many benefits of the scheme and electric vehicles in general, whilst also sharing some wider thoughts on the industry. Tom, I mean, well, first of all, thanks for joining us today and welcome to the podcast. Now, we're here obviously to talk about the electric car scheme, but before we jump straight into that, I was just wondering if you could give us a bit of background to yourself and your story and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. So my name is Tom Groot. I'm one of the co-founders of the Electric Car Scheme. Guess a bit more about me. So I grew up in the Netherlands, which is why I've got the Dutch name. Moved to the UK, I've been in a variety of businesses, including some time spent at the AA, where I led the digital innovation team. And then together with my co-founder, who's also called Tom, set up the Electric Car Scheme about 3 years ago, really because we were starting to look at getting into an electric car and found out about the tax breaks for electric cars through companies, and found it really hard to get access to the tax savings. So we set up the scheme to help people with that and help get into an electric car.
Yeah. So you've just given us a bit of an overview there. So what's the journey been like for the company so far, getting it off the ground and getting it to where it is today?
Yeah, it's really interesting. So we found out about the tax break, I think it was in 2019, and started thinking about, well, look, we'd love to, for people to be able to access that, you have to do it through a company car. Okay, that means you need your company involved and you need a lease company involved. So we contacted the lease companies. They said, you can do this, but only if you've got more than 1,000 employees, because we don't really work with small business. And it just got us thinking about, well, hold on, isn't there an opportunity here for salary sacrifice for electric cars, but for small and medium businesses and for people that don't work at big companies and don't get a company car? But by the time we got around to launching the business, it was mid-2020. And if you recall then, it was COVID time. So no one was out and about, no one was driving, and the UK was at a standstill. So we spent probably about 6-7 months really working from our bedrooms and evenings and weekends to get the business going, and only really properly launched it in 2021 full-time.
Yeah, it's funny to hear people talk about the COVID-19 pandemic, because it was obviously one of the biggest challenges of our times, really. But it feels so long ago that everyone's sort of forgotten about it. And I remember thinking at the time that the pandemic actually was, I don't want to say a good thing, but it probably had some benefits for the electric car industry, because I remember hearing loads of different stories about, I think there was one in India where, because traffic pollution had reduced so much, people could see the mountains all of a sudden again. So it really made people consider like the environmental aspect of electric vehicles. And I think in that way, it was sort of it really helped develop the acceleration of the EV market. So I wanted to come on about how you've seen the EV market grow over this period from when you started the electric car scheme to today and what it's like today.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned COVID, because you're right. I do remember it. Suddenly, like, the air was clearer. More people would go out for a walk because you couldn't really do anything else and appreciate the environment more. That's what we saw in the UK. But I guess the flip side of it was massive, disruption in the supply chain and industry. And we've all seen over the last 2 years the knock-on impact on basically the semiconductor shortage, that was also a knock-on impact from COVID. So, when people returned to driving and work, suddenly it was like, yeah, there's loads of interest in electric cars. And for a while, it was really good. You could still get them very, very quickly. And then we obviously have been through about a year and a half, 2 years of basically massive wait times, which thankfully are coming down for customers now. But that's been it's been quite interesting. But yeah, for us, it was an interesting moment to launch a business because it definitely wasn't the perfect time. But when is there ever a perfect time when you're starting something new? And yeah, it did give us an opportunity then to spend time thinking about it and before we launched it, which was probably in hindsight not a bad thing. But yeah, we then went properly into it in mid 2021, started hiring our first people, and I do remember our first hires. We had to do it remotely because you couldn't actually meet in person for interviews. We took up some shared office space, which we were in and out of. Every time there was a new COVID outbreak, like we'd be back at home for a few weeks, and then we might be able to get back together. But yeah, thankfully things have returned a bit more to normal. And yeah, for us, I guess we've seen interest in the market and electric cars go massively up. And then I guess over the last 6 months, it's been quite up and down. There's been so much negative press about electric cars, which definitely has put some people off getting into it. But you know, we only see growth, and yeah, we're very excited about not just the electric car scheme, but just how the whole of the UK is starting to embrace electric cars more and more. And we're debating less about, or should we do electric cars, and you know, is range an issue, and more about, okay, well, how we're going to solve some of the biggest problems, which I think is a good thing. And yeah, we'll still go on for many years, but it's exciting to see the industry sort of mature and evolve from should we get electric cars to how we're going to make it work, which is good to work on.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's focus back on the electric car scheme then. So how does the scheme work? So if I was in charge of a company or a small business or something like that, and I approached you, what would the process look like from start to finish?
Yeah, sure. The electric car scheme, at the heart of it is what's called a salary sacrifice scheme, where effectively your employer provides a car to you, which they lease through the scheme through any lease company, and you give up a portion of your gross salary to pay for that car. But that means you don't pay income tax or national insurance on the salary, and instead pay what's called a benefit in kind tax on the value of the car. But for the electric car, for any electric car, that's been set at a very low rate by the government. It's 2% of the value of the car, which means you effectively save between 30% and 60% on a car versus getting it yourself by doing it through your employer. So it's a massive saving. So our average customer saves about £12,000, £13,000 on accessing an electric car for 2, 3, or 4 years. And it's set up through your employer because you have to take the money out of your payslip and your gross salary. So I guess what do we do in that? Well, we help employers set up the scheme, ensure that it's all HMRC compliant, do payroll and administration, and then also help employees get into their car. So choose their car, find the best lease deal from all the lease providers on the market, source a charger if they need one, get car insurance, maintenance included, and make sure it's a really easy journey for employees to get into the car, get the full tax savings, while making it as easy for an employer as possible to offer this as a benefit, because there's a lot of businesses out there that would not normally offer a car scheme because they think it's too much hassle, there's too much risk or cost involved. But we're able to do it at no cost because we're funded effectively by the tax savings on the employer side. We take away all the hassle because we run the scheme for employers. And we also take away the risk of a car having to be returned early and employers being stuck with a car or stuck with a massive exit penalty. So that in a nutshell is kind of our offer to businesses to say, look, we'll take care of all of it. Don't have to worry about it. There's no cost, so that your employees can access these great tax savings through salary sacrifice.
Yeah. And you mentioned that you can source chargers and set that up for companies and everyone. I was going to ask how charging works. So obviously you mentioned that part of it, but charging for anyone that hasn't experienced an electric vehicle before, it is like a complete minefield and it can put a lot of people off. So how do you manage that expectation, if you like, of the different clients, and how much help do you provide them with charging?
Yeah, sure. So I guess we do a couple of things. The most common route for people getting into an electric car, if they're able to do it, is to get a charger at home, so they can charge the car at home. It takes away most of the hassle of having to charge publicly. So for example, I've got now a home charger, and I think I use that 99% of the time. When I make really long journeys, I think I drove all the way up to Yorkshire, which is 250 miles. Had to stop, I think it was about 10 miles before the end to charge. Okay, you have to find a public charger. But home charging is kind of the most common issue. So we found a great partner basically to help provide charging units and do the installation for our customers. And they can pay for that charger through salary sacrifice. So you get the same tax savings that you get on the car, also on the charger, which is very attractive for our customers. So we find about 3 in 4 customers take that up, because for most of our customers at the moment, it's their first electric car. They might not have a home charger yet. But there's also people that live in a a flat or haven't got off-street parking that can't get a hold of charger yet. So for those customers, we just provide kind of help to find, okay, where's your local charger? How would you get into it? How does it work? And also if you're out and about, what's the network of chargers you might be able to access? And we're working in the background on probably a better solution for those customers. We haven't launched it yet, so that'll probably come later this year, Charlie.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I won't ask you to spill any top secrets just yet, but I wanted to come on to what like the feedback has been on the scheme. Obviously, you mentioned there's a lot of misinformation about electric cars out there. So like you said, for the most part, you're dealing with people in their first electric car. So have you had any positive feedback, any negative feedback? What's been the sort of general consensus so far?
Yeah, I mean, generally, it's been really, really positive, as you can imagine. I mean, if you're going to get into an electric car, I would think the electric car scheme is a great way to do it because it just makes it so much cheaper and so much easier. So as you can imagine, when you help people save thousands and thousands of pounds, like most of the feedback you get is very, very positive. So I guess what do our customers say about us? Well, one, they love the service. We've got a great team of people that are mad about EVs, know the space really well, and love helping people when they're making choices and informing them, and it's a good thing to do. So the positive people get really good feedback on the service. We've had really, really positive feedback on, when I first approached you, I thought it was too good to be true. Turns out it is actually true, and like you do get the savings, and we're constantly trying to figure out where the catch was, but you're super transparent, you're open about what you do, how you do it, how it works, and that's super helpful for people. And I think in particular from businesses, they give us a lot of feedback around, we make basically the tax side of things a lot easier and simpler to understand, because it can be quite complicated. So from HR teams and finance teams, for example, we get a lot of feedback to say, look, again, we thought it was too good to be true. We didn't really understand how it works, but you helped us really understand it, make it simple, and make all the legals, the contracts, and all of that side a lot easier. So that's kind of the positive feedback. Negative feedback, we get kind of negative feedback in a couple of places. One, people don't like waiting for their electric cars. And unfortunately for some cars, some models, like wait times have been very high over the last 2 years, and that's not great for customers, because obviously if you get excited about an electric car, you know you can get the savings, you want to get into one as soon as possible, so it's not nice for people to wait. And then we work in the car industry, and there are issues, challenges with cars in the car industry. Every now and again a car is due to be delivered, gets tested at the last moment, there's an issue, so delivery can't take place, it gets delayed by a couple of weeks. Or we've also had it where dealerships deliver the cars and they're either in transit or before, and the cars get dirty. And obviously when you get a new car, you want it to be shiny and new and exciting. So those are still things we're working on with our partners to say, look, how can we make sure that customer experience end to end is really great? And that moment of truth when the car arrives is like perfect. And it's something we're still definitely still working on, trying to improve. And then I guess the last thing which we get feedback on, which we have got solutions for, but not everything yet, is people love the scheme and love getting into a brand new electric car. But we'd also obviously love to be able to offer the scheme for used electric cars that may be 2 or 3 years old to make it a little bit more affordable for people. So at the moment, we've got about 10 or 20 used cars on the scheme available, but that's not really sufficient choice because there's not enough used electric cars in the market yet. So something that I'd expect to grow quite a lot over the next couple of years.
Yeah, the used market's a big talking point within the industry, isn't it? Is this the sort of next stepping stone, if you like, for that true mass adoption of electric vehicles? But just going back to when you mentioned to some of your partners and obviously the lead time issues, what sort of cars do you offer through the scheme? Are you able to share some of the dealerships or some of the manufacturers that you work with and some of the cars that you're able to offer to customers?
Yeah, sure. So I guess we're set up to be agnostic of provider and offer the best of what's available in the market. So we're not a lease company ourselves. And that means we can work with all of the top lease companies in the UK. So we work with Lex, ALD, Leaseplan, Arval, Alphabet, you name it. We will work with all of those providers to access basically all electric cars, any lease variation, and then try and find our customers the best possible price, because no price list from one lease company is the same. And you do see on some cars, one company being significantly more affordable than another one. And so we shop the market for our customers. That also means we can work with any dealership or any manufacturer across the UK. So we work with all of the big brands, all of the manufacturers, offer all of the models. If there's a car available in the UK, it'll be available on our scheme, and we'll try and find our customers the best price. And that's been quite interesting, because when you then take yourself back over the last 2 years, when there's not been that many cars available. What we've seen is some of the lease companies buying bulk stock. So for example, LeasePlan might say, oh, I'm going to buy lots of Kia Niros and make sure that I've got a couple of hundred available for my customers. We're able to tap into that stock for our customers. And that's meant their wait time has typically been a bit less than the industry average because we can shop to different stock pools. Although for some cars, let's say the Porsche Taycan, they've still ended up with long wait times just because all of the providers have had long wait times, and that's been frustrating. The last thing I'd say on that is we've also found a good solution for what we call kind of if you have to wait a long time, or for customers that struggle with the lease companies to get credit because they work for a young business, for example, where we've partnered with a company called Onto, who I'm sure you've heard about, who offers subscription cars. So you can offer subscription cars through Salary Sacrifice as well. It's a little bit more complicated, but that's often meant shorter wait times for certain cars because they're more readily available through subscription, and or more flexibility for customers that might want to try different cars, or they're not sure kind of what car they want to commit to, or they've got a 2-year wait for a specific car, they might be able to get into another car kind of in the meantime. So that's kind of how we've done it and how we set ourselves up, which is a bit different from some of the other players in the industry who are more their own lease company and therefore buy their own cars, have their own price list, if you will.
Yeah. So we're on this episode, we've focused on a few different sort of issues affecting the EV industry. We've spoken about supply chain issues, lead times, the used car market. But considering you work within the industry and you sort of you know it inside and out, I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you see the biggest challenge facing the industry, and also how that impacts you and your daily business as well. Because I know a lot of people talk about, they maybe say, oh, but charging infrastructure is the biggest challenge, but that obviously doesn't necessarily impact you on a day-to-day basis. So what's one of the biggest issues in the industry that has an impact on your business and the way you run your company?
Yeah, I'd say it's two things which you're probably bored of hearing, but one is just affordability and price. Obviously, our tax savings help customers get into electric cars for, you know, at 30 to 60% less. But they're still new cars, they're still expensive, it's still not affordable for everyone in the UK, and that is a real challenge. So I guess my view on that is, like, we still, as an industry, as a country, we need to do more to make the cars more affordable. And that starts with things like encouraging manufacturers to produce more electric cars. So there's more supply available, there's more, you know, faster technological breakthrough, more volume benefits, and prices of cars will come down overall. That helps new prices come down, by the way. Then through the scheme or through other means, hopefully more people will drive new electric cars. That means there's more used electric cars available. Again, that will bring prices down and make it more affordable for everyone. And I think affordability we still see is the number one reason why our customers, and I think everyone's customers, might say, look, I do really want to go green. I love that there's these tax benefits through the electric car scheme available. But still, when I add it all up compared to my 8-year-old car that I'm still, you know, still running, that's perfectly good, I just can't justify the extra cost yet. And so that, for me, is still the number one issue that we face. And yeah, the scheme helps a lot with that, but it's still something we need to work on as a country. And then the second issue, like you said, is, yeah, charging infrastructure, which I'd say is two things. One, what are the actual chargers out there available and how customers get into them? But then also the perception, because with any big change that you make in your life, you might be quite worried about things like charging. But then once you actually drive an electric car, you might get a home charger. Suddenly you find out you're not sat at the petrol station once a week waiting 50 minutes to fill up because you can charge it at home. You might charge once, twice, three times a year when you're out and about. Actually, life's a lot easier. But until you've experienced that, you hear a lot of the horror stories in the press about you know, certain individuals who got stuck or had to wait or went to a charger that was broken. Like, until that perception changes, I think that will still be a big blocker as well. And I'd say on that last point, then the big group that I do think is at a disadvantage is the people that can't get a home charger. You know, have to rely on public charging networks. And there I feel, again, affordability is a big thing because public charging is more expensive typically than home charging. And the other thing that's, I think, unfair for those people is the VAT rules. So on home energy, you pay 5% VAT. If you charge out and about, you pay 20% VAT. So four times more VAT. And I think that's unfair for people that can't get a home charger. So that's something we've been, I guess, campaigning to the government about to say, look, it feels unfair. Can we please change that? Which hopefully they'll move on at some point to make it a bit fairer for people that can't charge at home.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I just wanted to come back to when you spoke about perception, because obviously as we mentioned before, you're dealing with a lot of people that this will be their first electric car and they've never experienced one before. So obviously you're an electric vehicle driver yourself. So what would be your message to someone who's thinking about going green, thinking of making the switch to an electric vehicle, but is a little bit unsure? What would be your sales pitch to them, if you like?
Yeah, I think I don't have a stock sales pitch prepared, but like, what would I say to my friends if they're thinking about it? Well, first of all, I'd say try a car out for yourself. Right, go for a test drive. Whether it's, you know, people get very excited about Teslas, or I drive the Kia Niro, I've driven the Zoe before. Whatever electric car is, go for a test drive. First of all, you realize the car's not that different. it's just the fuel, really. Actually, they're quite fun to drive because of the dynamics of like electric power. You know, you can accelerate quite quickly. It's quite fun. So the driving itself, I think people very quickly realize, okay, that's not something to be too worried about. It's not actually that different from petrol driving. And then I'd say on charging, I always see as like the pros and cons. For me, the pro really is because I get to charge it at home. I don't end up stuck in petrol stations, sat there in the rain, or you know, on a Monday morning, a queue waiting to fill up the car, and then standing there for 15 minutes. I do it overnight, plug it in when I get home, like wake up in the morning and it's fully charged. It's so much easier. And then for long journeys, I've only had good experiences, but like I said, I've only had it 3 or 4 times where I've had to find public charging, and I've just planned ahead and found where to charge while getting a coffee or feeding the kids or, you know, something like that. And for me, it's not been an issue. So I try and talk about my experience and share that with people. Equally, I encourage people to talk to others that have driven electric cars and what their experiences are. And usually what we find is there's kind of two groups of people. People that are like never going to get into it and will always find a reason not to say yes. And like there's almost no convincing. And then there's people who are umming and ahhing or genuinely interested in finding out more. They'll do a bit more research and then eventually they'll say, yes, this is for me, or no, actually, it's not for me because I can't charge at home and it just isn't going to work financially or for example.
Yeah. So let's assume your sales pitch has worked then. So if someone's listening to this podcast and wants to become part of the electric vehicle scheme or the electric car scheme, sorry, what should they do now? How do they get in touch and how do they get the ball rolling?
Yeah, I always say to people, look, the easiest way to find out a bit more about us is just to go on our website. So that's electriccarscheme.com. There's a couple of things you can do on there. Obviously, find out about the scheme, how the tax savings work, what's included and what's not, but also a good way to find out about, you know, the main benefit of the scheme, which is the tax savings. So we've got a useful calculator on there where you just click calculate my savings. You put a few personal details in so we can help you work out your tax savings depending on your earnings and your tax band. And then you can choose any electric car that's available on the market, configure your lease. Do you need it for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years? Do you drive a lot, not a lot? Do you want a charger included or not, insurance or not? And you can configure a quote for you to see how much you can save. And that's a great way just to kind of find out a little bit more about, then does it become affordable for you or not? Is that interesting? And then helps get the ball rolling to get your employer involved or get you signed up. And by the way, if your employer is already signed up to the scheme, that also gets the ball rolling on ordering a car through the scheme.
That's all for this episode. Many thanks for listening. And if you liked it, then please do check out all our other episodes and be sure to subscribe to wherever you get your podcast from to make sure you get every single episode as soon as it's released. For daily news coverage, features and much more, you can also head over to evpowered.co.uk. Thanks once again for listening and we'll see you on the very next episode of the Everything EV podcast.